It is. I think it has been distributed by to members of the committee. I'm not sure how prevalent it is in the audience.
Yeah, I might ask, is there anyone in the audience who doesn't have a copy of Representative Davis's amendment? And if you'd like one, just let us know.
Is it appropriate then to move the amendment?
It would be appropriate to move the amendment.
I'd like to move the amendment.
the amendment has been moved and it is open for discussion. Representative Gary Davis.
Yes, if I might, I'd like to go over the rationale behind the amendment. Page 4, line 16, just deals with the size of the committee. I've, like many people who've given testimony, we've discussed possible costs related to the committee process. I think if we reduce the size, we'll not only hopefully address possible costs of the committee process, but also bring it back to the small school size, where if there's a minimum of 3, I think we can address better a lot more of these school districts that may be concerned, the small school districts who might be concerned with the size of the committee. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Page 4, line 17 is just a change reflecting the change in line 16. Page 4, line 26.
May I speak to that second need for a change on line 17?
Let's see, page 4.
Where it's regular membership. I mean, I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, can I explain?
Please, if you would.
I'm Terry Kramer. It was a choice I made to make sure that it was clear that the members I was speaking of were these that were appointed, not the ones that the amendment speaks to in a later part of the amendment who are added school by school. The explanation?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Speaking to that, in the in the following change, page 4, line 26, we address the makeup of the committee, and this is where I include where the committee itself must include the principal of that school and also a tenured teacher from that school in which the teacher being reviewed resides, is working. I would not like to see, it was left open, I think. My interpretation was it was left open that the committee process could select someone not intimately involved with that school where that teacher resides. So I would like to, this section includes the principal, any tenured teacher from the facility that the teacher being reviewed is in. The next section, page 4, lines 27, 28, deal with the quorum. There the change is required because of change in size of the committee. On page 5, line 1, this changes, deletes a section, like a paragraph, deletes a paragraph, and what it deletes is the public meeting section, page 5, line 1.
Mr. Chairman, it deletes the sentence that reads, "The committee shall meet at a time and place that will encourage public participation."
Mm-hmm. Okay, and a concern there is in the public meeting process. If the public has a concern about a teacher, in this case, we're looking up to 5 years, where if anyone in the public, a parent or someone, has had knowledge, and they do it now, they say, "Hey, superintendent," or "Hey, principal," they come in and talk to them, and I don't think you need to open up the process to the entire public, who many of us who've attended a lot of public meetings relating to education, school districts know who's there. A lot of them are the same people who are there over and over, and a lot of them have hidden agendas. I just think it's just a would really open up a can of worms to open up the process to the public to the degree that has been in the draft. And it also relates to the Open Meetings Act as far as the legalities of what needs to be made public and what doesn't. Page 6, line 6 also, Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have a mark on this, also relates to the public meetings section.
Both the public meetings requirements and the public records.
Okay.
Title 9 references are to the requirement that public records be made available on request.
Okay, on page 6, lines...
If I could interrupt and ask Terry a question. On that last amendment on page 6, line 6, was it?
Mm-hmm.
If the local school board disapproves tenure for a teacher, the local board shall set out in writing the reasons for disapproval. Is this what you're talking about? My purpose there was that the teacher would receive written notification.
No, we're not taking that sentence out. That sentence remains. It's just that we're adding material that says that the meeting is closed and papers, documents remain private. Unless the teacher releases the documents.
And on page 6, lines 14 and 15, it's deleting the section that says the tenure review committee for a school shall review the performance of each tenure teacher every 5 years. This again speaks to the cost of the activities of the committee. I think we talk about, later on, it talks about unacceptable evaluations that can be reviewed and opportunity for the teacher to make corrections. I think that's all we need after the initial tenure is awarded. They talked about the committee continuing its work and reviewing tenured teachers' performance every 5 years. And that's just more work for the committee. It's more cost, and there's already inclusions in there for review by the building administrator. So that's the rationale for that, to eliminate the extended process and cost of the committee. Right, I think we're already protected that their continuing performance is properly evaluated. And in the other changes there is since after tenure is given, we're deleting the work of the committee and having the work done by the reviewer. There is concern about that word reviewer. Apparently in statute or in most school districts' wording, the word building administrator has been requested to be supplied there. I don't have a problem with that. I think NEA's review, if I remember right, asked us to consider building administrator as opposed to reviewer in this case.
The policy choice is up to you. What the amendment does now is to leave to a school board to identify who it is that the reviewer would be. If you, as a legislative body, want to say it's the school administrator, we should say so.
Well, let's go back to the very beginning and take these amendments one at a time and discuss them further, and we'll vote on them individually.
Fine.
The first amendment is the changing of the number and further discussion on these numbers. You understand there would be three people minimum, a teacher, a principal, and a representative of the school board. My concern...
Mr. Chair, that's not exactly what I've written. I can certainly write that for you. But
what
I've written
original, committee,
is three who are the generic ones, and then from a school there's the principal and a teacher, so that there would be for each tenure review, 5 people, the 3 ongoing members and the 2 ad hoc members.
That's what I was wondering. I was trying to decipher the where you talk about additional members.
I think the thrust was to reduce the number of members rather than have 3 roving and then 1 from the school and 3 roving teachers, so to speak, and 1 from the school. I don't know if that was your intent, but that I don't look favorably on it.
Right. The intent was to reduce the overall, the complete size of the committee to a minimum of 3 of the complete committee and maximum of 5.
Okay, we can do that, but this doesn't accomplish.
Right, okay. I was...
Well, we won't.
Minimum of 3, but no more than 5.
Okay. And it's your amendment, but let me understand clearly. My original committee, I wanted a majority of teachers and a representative of the school board and a representative of the school administration, assuming that would be the principal. To have 3 people, 1 teacher, 1 principal, 1 school board member, is to outvote the teacher and causes me some grave concern.
Yeah, I propose to override a teacher or to override a principal or override one or the other. I would leave that to the committee. I wouldn't want in your scenario, I think, places the teachers in the teachers on the committee in a majority position. And I don't necessarily agree with that.
And to speak to that, and then we'll recognize you, Representative Bryce. The scenarios I would see play out: you have a teacher on the tenure review committee voting against his or her boss, the principal, voting against his or her employer, the school board member. Who wears the intimidation apt to flow? Well, I think it's more apt to flow to the teacher. So we have teachers who outvote the, if you will, the principal, or outnumber them, so less likely to be influenced, intimidated, if you will. Representative Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think your concerns is good, but I don't think, as my understanding of the amendment, maybe I'm looking off 2 different things.
The basic work draft is work draft U.
Okay, yeah. My understanding is that B, in which of your, in section B, 142152, which is your bill, we insert regular after the, and then the membership of the review committee shall include a simple majority of tenured teachers currently employed in the district. In other words, I think that according to the language that we're maintaining, I think we're keeping your concerns addressed, that the majority of the committee, be it however made up, it's still a majority of teachers, but there will be 1 principal, as in what Section C says, 1 principal and 1 teacher from that school. So I think that you will still have a majority of tenured teachers on that committee per Section B.
I think we have some problems there because I think the drafter drafted the amendment with 1 goal in mind. Mm-hmm. The amender had another goal in mind. If you're going to have a minimum of 3, mm-hmm. and you're going to have a majority of teachers, and you're still supposed to have a principal and a mm-hmm. school board representative, you don't come up with a majority with 3 people then.
But you can have 4.
But you still don't have a majority.
The amendment says 3, but no more than 5, yeah. So you can have between 3 and 5.
I think we're at loggerheads then with that. 2 teachers and 2 administrators and Representative Easy.
Mr. Chairman, I would just comment that 9 is an unworkable number for a working committee. 11 is certainly really essential in your concept that a member of the school board who is an elected official be on the review committee?
I'm open to discussion. I think the school board certainly has input, but one of the problem, because they're the ultimate grantor of tenure or not, one of the problems that's been addressed to me, particularly from some of the smaller schools, is that they have people that they're not happy with, and this gives them an opportunity to be part of the review process. I'm not married to the numbers, and a committee of five, depending on whatever the size of the school, seems like your point's well taken on nine being too many people. I'm thinking of large high schools where not everyone could make every meeting, and so you have nine people that are members, but you've got your five, six, or seven that show up. Might I ask that being the amendment doesn't really reflect, this first amendment doesn't really reflect what your intention was, that we withdraw that amendment and rewrite it so it miraculously reflects what your intention was?
It's not necessarily, well, it's a part of the first amendment. We're breaking this down now, so it would be the third. You're talking about this, this section.
We're still talking about whether it's going to be three to five or it's going to be just five. Or
five to seven.
I would prefer my wording, but if there's anything, I agree that nine is too many.
Representative Bryce?
I guess maybe somebody from the administrators or the school boards can answer a question for me relating back to small single-site school districts where you have maybe five, six teachers in which, if we're going to require a majority of tenured teachers on this committee, you're requiring a majority of the school teachers in the school district to participate. And how that'll work, I mean, as far as increasing the number. I guess my statement's more in support of Representative Davis's current amendment. From the other point of view, from not the school, big school district, but from the very, very small school districts.
May I ask Mr. Rose to respond?
Mr. Chairman, if I could. The role of a school board member is that of a policymaker, not like a legislator. There are legislators of their districts. And I think to include them on a tenure committee is to move them into the executive function. And I don't think that that's what the design is that you're trying to get at. I appreciate what you're trying to get to. But these elected officials are responsible for all facets of the educational system within the system that they serve. And therefore, they need to remain or maintain their objectivity. And to place them into a position of evaluating, I think, may be counterproductive. I don't think that's what you're really after.
My concern specifically addresses, I appreciate that statement, though, is the size of the committee and how that would relate to the your smaller school districts.
Representative Bryce, if I might respond, there's certainly some schools that only have two or three teachers, and they're part of a district, and that tenure evaluation would then become the more expensive part of because someone from the neighboring school, whether it's going
about,
to have to be part of it.
What about a school who is in and of itself a school district, those types of scenarios?
Single-site schools with three teachers.
How this bill would impact them? I think it would place a disproportionate value on the decision making, because you're taking decision makers who have the final say. According to your amendments, both of them, none of this is binding on the school district. The school district has to maintain that objectivity. Now, to include those members on the oversight committee, I think is almost a.
I understand, but I don't think we're getting to Representative Bryce's question. If there's just the number of teachers. Now, I don't think we have single-site schools that have real small faculties, less than five.
We have two.
We do.
That have less than five?
Mission Region and Pelican. I think Pelican may have more than five, but Pelican is small. Volusian Region is one of them. Now, we have small, we have school districts, multi-site districts that have small settings.
Yeah.
Now, in those, I think mm-hmm. your concern would apply to a self-contained school as a part of a larger district. They're still self-contained. I think that the issue of an administrator and a teacher or the requirement for oversight from a committee in a small setting would be cost-restricted. It would be pretty hard to accomplish.
What about increasing that size to five, from three to five, that tenure review committee has to be, from, instead of three people, five people?
I could say that in an REAA, perhaps they wouldn't use, they would have to be some kind of a hybrid that would allow a tenure committee, if that's what you were going to do, would allow a tenure committee district-wide rather than school-wide. I would say in Anchorage or any of the larger districts, you would want a school committee. But I would say some of these larger REAAs that have small settings, you may have to resort to some kind of a district-wide committee for review to accomplish what you're trying to do. In the case of a single site, small single sites, I can only think of one that would, you know, a lot of these small single sites operate independently right now with the advice of their and evaluation of the administrator and action by the board. I don't know that the committee process advances that in a small school district.
Thank you. Excuse me, Representative Beasy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not trying to draft more amendments, but trying to figure out where other people would like to go. If we took the proposed amendment that President Davis has of 3 to 5 member committee, and we retained the rest of section paragraph mm-hmm. B, I see no reason not to delete paragraph C. What we'd have is a committee of 3 to 5 with a majority of being tenured teachers and the other minority being appointed by the school board, and they could appoint whoever they wanted. I think that addresses most of the concerns until we get talking to some of our real small schools with only one teacher and a principal on site, something like that.
That takes care of us until we get to the next point that Representative Davis has, which he wanted to ensure that a school administrator or a school principal or the building principal was on the committee. And it's a valid concern, I think. So in order to preserve to make the numbers work, what we need to do is talk about school administrators being on there and delete the school board representative.
Mr. Chairman, if you go back to the original bill, paragraph B, there's no mention that the school board member would be on the committee. It just says the school board will appoint the members of the committee.
Right. Shall be representatives of the school administration and the local school board.
Wow. Well, if you have one person, that person's going to have to fill both shoes. Mm-hmm. You can take out and the local school board if you want, but
or put or of the school administration or the local school board. Take it out.
I think that would be the route that I would be following.
Anyway, I just offered that.
Yeah. So what we're looking at is 3 to 5 to make the numbers less cumbersome. I'm not going to ask anybody to vote on this today because we've got too many ideas floating around here. We will. Representative Gary Davis and I will be a subcommittee coming up with some language to clean this up, so we can take a closer look at it. I do want to get, if you'll grant me a little leeway here, I want to discuss a little bit further the idea of revisiting, reevaluating, reviewing the teachers further down after initial tenure My original proposal was that after 5 years of tenure teaching, I'm sorry for this cough, the teacher would be reevaluated, still maintaining tenure until found deficient, incompetent. There's been some discussion that we might accomplish that in a less threatening way. I would submit that we all probably work best when we are occasionally reevaluated, as in our position where every 2 years our tenure is up for reevaluation. One of the concerns that I've heard, and it's again, it's a, I'm absolutely confident it's a minority of teachers that, a very small minority of teachers, that after a period of time, the fire burns out. And perhaps the fire can be reignited. Perhaps the coals are completely dead and the teacher needs vocational rehabilitation. But whatever the case is,
retirement?
Early retirement. Whatever the case is, I think the confidence in the teaching profession in general would be strengthened if there was some form of reevaluation after tenure was granted. Now, that exists on an informal basis. What I'm saying is if we formalized it, perhaps we would increase this level of confidence. Now, where, and I realize from your body language that your minds have already left this room, but very briefly, could you give me some personal reaction to those ideas? Representative Gary Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's probably hit the nail on the head as far as public perception. Perception is, once tenure is obtained, it doesn't matter what you do, you can't get fired. That's the public perception. So I think that's what we're really need to address, and you're on the track here, and I think the amendments too treat it probably a little more mildly than your work draft, but I think that's a very valid statement, a valid concern, and anxious to hear the debate.
Well, with my thanks for your patience and your assistance in this never-ending quest, thanks to you, Ms. Kramer. We will adjourn the meeting at 4:55. Just an announcement, tomorrow is Wednesday. We're hearing a couple of the governor's bills on assisted living.
Thanks, Chair. Sorry.
We had
possibly miscommunication there.